grab your Bibles. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. When you get there, stand with me. I'm going to share with you this morning. I've got a message for you I want to share with you about the pains that we suffer in this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at probably one of the most perfect examples of pains that we bear and struggles that we face, and exactly how we're supposed to approach them. There's several things that we're going to look at tonight. Let's go ahead and read just a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And notice he stated that twice now. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, talking about God, said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Notice this, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the truths that we find all throughout your Scripture. But Lord, there's a very, very needful truth right here tonight. Every one of us face pains, struggles, trials, burdens that we carry. Many times we don't always know how to approach them. And many times we approach them from a fleshly perspective, a humanly perspective. And we want to blame you. We want to blame others. We want to gripe and we want to complain. But Lord, your word tells us exactly why we have the pains that we have and exactly how we should approach this manner. I pray, Lord, you'd teach us something from your word about the purpose of pain in our life. We'll give you the glory for it tonight. Help us to approach the situation from the right perspective. We ask this in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Paul here references that he had a thorn in his flesh. You can go ahead and be seated. He went to God on three separate occasions, the Bible says, about this specific thorn in his flesh. We see that in verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Many speculate as to what his thorn in the flesh was. Let me give you my opinion. Go to the right, just a couple of pages, to the book of Galatians, chapter number 4. This is my opinion, but I'm going to show it to you biblically on why I believe this would be what he would have considered his thorn. I believe this is something that Paul had struggled with throughout his life. There are some theologians who believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a wife that the Bible doesn't tell us about. Because in order to be a Pharisee, he says amen. In order to be a Pharisee, you had to be married. And so he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, the Bible says. So one of the qualifications was he would have had to have been married. And so some believe that it would have been a wife that would have left him because of his service for the Lord and his dedication to God, which of course would have kept him from being the pastor that he wanted to be. But again, we're not going to look at all of that. There's just speculations. Here, biblically, though, we do have something that he references as being a hindrance in his flesh. All right? So notice Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse number 14. It says, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now this seems like a very strange thing to say. I personally believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh was his lack of eyesight, his hindrance, the complications that he had as far as his eyesight was concerned. Some people believe he had a medical condition that hindered his eyesight, that also kind of marred some of his visage as far as his face was concerned and caused his eyes to ooze a little bit. And some of that could be explained from Acts chapter number 9 when he saw the great light and God spoke to him. He was blinded for 3 days, and then when he was healed of his blindness, the Bible says, as it were, there were scales that fell off of his face or fell off of his eyes. It would be the same process that a cow would go through in the process of having pink eye. Has anybody ever seen a cow that had pink eye and developed pink eye? We point to Brother Roberto. He's had pink eye before. Well, when a cow develops pink eye, they get an irritation and an oozing that takes place in the eye, and it will the body will actually develop scales over that eye to protect that eye. And then once the cow is healed from that, those scales will then fall off. And so it would be the same process that we would look at. But go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I personally believe it was his eyesight, because later on in the book of Galatians, he even talks about how large of a letter he wrote to the church there at Galatia. Now, large would refer to the large size of letter as far as how he had written it by his hand. He had to write with a large letter because he could not see well. Most of his letters he dictated, and the Bible tells us that at the end of each of his letters, it talks about who wrote them out for him as he dictated it. But regardless of what it was, we're not going to split hairs on what his thorn in the flesh was. Regardless as to what it was, the pain was an obvious weakness to him, according to your Bible. Look at verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, thorns are painful. Amen. And thorns in the flesh, he would gives that instance or that illustration to show how painful this thorn in his flesh was, how painful this element was that he was facing. It was something that was constantly piercing him, something that was constantly causing pain. And the Bible says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, there are several aspects and four thoughts here about the purpose of pain in our lives. Here, God's power came from Paul's weakness. We also see that Paul's pleasure came from Paul's weakness. We see that Paul's path, or his path of life, came from his own weakness. And then lastly, Paul's purpose came from his weakness. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the purpose of the pain. The purpose of the pain in our lives. I want you to notice first and foremost, pain in your life, whatever it may be, whether it's a physical pain, whether it's an emotional pain, whether it's a mental pain, whether it's a psychological pain, whatever the pain may be in your life, pain will bring 8 things that we're going to look at here tonight, real quickly. Pain, number 1, can bring submissiveness in our lives. Look at verse 7. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure. The word exalted literally means to be lifted up in his own pride. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure, lest I be lifted up in my own pride and think myself to be something when in all reality I am nothing. According to Philippians chapter number 3, he says the same thing. He said, God has given me a thorn in the flesh. God has given me the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, the word buffet is only used twice in the Bible. The word buffeted is only used 3 times. So any form of the word buffet is used 5 times in your Bible. Now, the word buffet literally means to make a fist and to punch. The only other time that buffet is used is in reference to Jesus Christ and the scourging that he faced. In Mark chapter 4, verse number 65, where they buffeted him and they literally made a fist and they would come by and they would punch him in the face as he was bound. And so here, Paul is saying that this pain that I am facing is like being repeatedly punched over and over again. It is buffeting me. It is a pain that has physical abuse that is taking place in my life. And some of you go through physical pains each and every day. Some of you are in pain right now, just sitting here for church. But you're enduring that. And that's something that God has allowed to happen in your life, to bring us to a point of submission. To bring us to a point of submission in our lives. This was not, in this case, an emotional pain. This was not, in this case, an inward pain that he dealt with secretly. This description reveals to us that it was a physical pain and it was a struggle for him. All right? So in his life, it was a struggle to do the things that he did for the glory of God because of the pain, the physical pain that he suffered. Listen, think about everything that Paul endured. He goes back in the previous chapter and tells us what all he endured. Notice in chapter number 11, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, go back to verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. That means he was beaten with a whip. Stripes above measure. In prisons, more frequent. He spent a lot of time in jail. In deaths, oft. Remember, he was stoned and left for dead at Lystra. And God resurrected him right then. Okay? The Bible tells us that in the book of Acts. Of the Jews, there was another time where he was threatened with his life and they had to lower him out of a window in a basket. He was always on the run for his life. Verse number 24, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That'd be 39 stripes. Times 5. That's 195 stripes. For quick math right there. That's a lot of whipping. Notice verse 25, thrice or 3 times was I beaten with rods. Beaten, not just hit, but physically beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. So he has suffered shipwreck. Say that 3 times fast. He had suffered shipwreck 3 times. And he was floating out in the water for a day and a half. In journeyings oft, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness. The physical pains that he suffered. In watchings oft, in hunger and thirst, and fasting oft, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that's all external. That which cometh upon me daily. The inner burden that he carried, the care of all the churches. Paul suffered. He suffered immensely. Go back to 2 Corinthians 12. And then he wants to tell us here in verse number 7 that this pain was specific in his life and it brought him to a point of submissiveness. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Don't get bitter with God and don't get mad at God because of the pains that you may be suffering right now. It could be that God is trying to bring you to a point of submission. God is trying to bring you to a point of dependence. He wants you to trust in Him. You know what's amazing to me is the amount of trust and blind trust, many a times, blind faith that we give to our doctors, yet we don't trust our God. We trust our doctors and everything that they tell us to do and everything that they tell us how we ought to eat and how we ought to take this and take that. Yet we don't trust God when He tells us exactly how to live our lives. Here, it was a struggle. It was such a bad pain. It was as if somebody had physically assaulted him on a daily basis. The messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. For him to be able to do anything for God each and every day, it was a struggle. That's why I say, even for some of you, to get out of bed in the morning, to be able to come to church. Some of you may be a physical struggle. But God sees that. God understands that. And God has allowed that to prove the sincerity of our love to Him. And pain oftentimes brings submissiveness. See here, this pain brought about a physical and a personal weakness in His flesh that caused him to submit to God and trust in God's strength and to seek after God. We see down in verse number 9 that he had weakness. And we see in verse number 10 that he was weak and God gave him strength. But it was only through the pain that he had suffered that he found submissiveness with God. By the way, it could be that God may not be bringing certain types of healing in your life because He knows that if He would, you wouldn't trust Him as much. It could be that if God brought healing in your life, you wouldn't pray as often as you do. And God desires that fellowship with us. And so it may be that God is allowing a pain in your life to bring you to a point of submission so you can actually have a sweet relationship with God. Here, pain in our lives can bring submission. Secondly, pain can bring a searching. Not only does pain bring submission in our lives, but pain brings a searching. Look at verse number 8. For this thing, because of my thorn in the flesh, because of the pain that I was facing, because of everything that I had gone through, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He said, I wanted to get rid of it in my life. It was a burden. I did not want to carry it. I wonder how many people feel that way. That God, this pain that I'm feeling, this ailment that I have, it's unbearable. God, take it away. But what did it do? It drove him to seek after his God. It drove him to pray more. So don't get bitter with God when God doesn't take away the pain that you may be suffering. When God may not take away the pain that has been inflicted upon your life. It may be that God just simply wants to develop that relationship with you. Here, pain can bring submissiveness, and pain also can bring searching. You see, in the searching, he knew he could not bear this on his own. He didn't want to bear it at all. Right? He asked God to take it away. He didn't want to bear it at all, let alone have it to bear it by himself. Thank God for Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, where God makes us the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is always there with us. By the way, God turned his back on his own son while he was on the cross so he could make us that promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Pain can bring submissiveness in our lives. Pain can bring a seeking or a searching in our lives, number two. Thirdly, pain can bring sight in our lives. Yes, I understand. I said this. I believe that it is his eyesight that caused his thorn in the flesh. But pain can also bring a spiritual eyesight that you would not have had before. Let me explain. Look at verse number 9. And he, talking about God, said unto me. So God spoke to him. Now, whether God spoke audibly or whether God spoke through his word, God spoke to him. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, pain brought a sight that Paul had never thought of before. Pain in his life had brought him to a point to where he realized and he learned from God, by the way, after seeking after God, now he has a spiritual sight that he didn't have before. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. We often give the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense, but grace is unmerited favor. That is God giving us what we do not deserve. Now, do we deserve any type of healing? No. Do we deserve any kind of comfort in this world? No. We are sinners. We deserve hell. That's exactly what we deserve. But God gives us grace. And He gives us unmerited favor. He gives us something we do not deserve. Mercy is God withholding what we deserve. But grace is giving us something that we don't deserve. And what does he say? My grace is sufficient for thee. During this trial that Paul was facing, Paul was able to have the spiritual eyesight and he was able to see the fact that God was providing things for him that he would not have provided otherwise. Think about this. It may be that God's allowing the pain that you're facing in your life because God wants to work a miracle that otherwise he could not work because you would have done it by yourself. And now it's to the point to where God has to do something and then God wants to do something. God wants to answer. God wants to bless. God wants to be involved in our lives. And so it may be that God's allowing a pain to happen in your life because God wants to make himself relevant in your life. Pain brings sight. Here, God's favors, God's blessings, God's benefits that we are daily loaded with. God allows the pain to happen in our lives. Why? So that we can see that God is all we need, all that we need. There's a song in your hymn book, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. We sing it at church camp. Christ is everything that we need. And sometimes God may allow the suffering, God may allow the pain, so that we can get some spiritual eyesight. By the way, we need to exercise our spiritual sight more than we do our humanly sight anyway. And it may be God's trying to reveal grace in our lives. Don't look for the satisfaction or for enjoyment in other things. Don't even look for satisfaction outside of the pain. Don't look for the relief from the pain. Look for God's grace in the midst of the pain. Here, Paul was told by God, "My grace is sufficient." The word sufficient literally means all supplying. He said, "My grace is everything that you need in life." By the way, each and every day that we live, we need God's grace. We need God's unmerited favor. We need God to show up in a way that He never would have before. And so it may be that God allows a pain to happen so that He can show up. Because we've been seeking after Him. We've been searching. We've submitted ourselves to Him. And now He gives us some sight. That means we're looking for the blessing of God. We're looking for God to show up. We're looking for God to do something. So pain also, fourthly, can bring strength in our lives. Notice, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect." The word perfect means complete. My strength is made perfect, or my strength is complete in your weakness. It says in weakness. We understand that God is talking to Paul. And here God literally tells him the only way that God can reveal His strength in Paul's life is for Paul to be weak. And the only way for God to reveal His strength in our lives is for us to be weak. You see, if we're strong in our own ways, if we're strong in our own mode of thinking, if we're strong in our own understanding, then God's strength is not going to be relevant, because all we're doing is thinking about how strong we are. But if we get to the point to where we're weak and we don't understand, and we get to the point to where we were seeking after God and we're looking for God's grace, then His strength is made complete in our weakness. His strength will be revealed through our weakness. You see, we don't want to suffer. We don't want the struggles. Hold your place here. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. We'll come back to that verse, I promise. Philippians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 7. It says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." This is Paul's testimony to the church at Philippi. And he's telling them exactly what God's done in his heart and God's done in his life. Verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss." What? "For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung." Dung's another word for poop, all right? He said, "I count them but dung." Why? "That I may win Christ." That phrase, "that I may win Christ," that's not work salvation. What that literally means, he's looking to win the approval of God in his life. It's just like when a child tries to please their parent, what are they doing? They're trying to win your approval. They're trying to win your attention. And here Paul is literally saying, "I've suffered the loss of all things." Why? Because I want God to pay attention to my life. I want God to see me. Not because of who I am, but because I want God to use me. That's what Paul says. Look at verse 9. "And be found in Him." I want to be found straight and narrow in the Word of God. "Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Why do you think Paul said, "I die daily"? Why do you think Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." But look at verse number 10. This is the key. He says, "that I may know Him." Paul had a driving passion to know his Savior. He had a driving passion and a desire to get to know the Heavenly Father. But then notice, "and the power of His resurrection." That means I want to understand, I want to know the power of God in my life. Just like He resurrected from the dead, I want Him to resurrect Himself in my life. And notice, the fellowship of his sufferings. We just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8, where Paul said, I went to the Lord on three occasions and asked him to remove this thorn in the flesh. I didn't want any part of it. But we're able to see in his life where he says, I wanted to get to know my God. And I knew that if I was going to have to get to know my God, I was going to have to suffer some things. Notice what your Bible says. He says that I may know him, and that's a conjunction joining the thought, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship. That means I'm in agreement with God. The fellowship, I'm right there with him. I'm hand in hand. We're standing together. We're fellowshipping. And know the fellowship of his sufferings. Who can we look at in the Bible other than Paul, who suffered almost as much as Christ? Nobody suffered quite like Christ did on the cross. I'm not blaspheming anything. I'm not minimizing the suffering that Christ suffered. But if we look at somebody other than Jesus Christ in the Bible, who suffered the most? It would have been Paul. Why? Because he wanted to get to know his God. And if you're going to get to know your God, and you're going to get to know the God that served you, it may be that God's going to allow a pain to happen in your life to draw you to him. It may be that God may allow something that is unbearable to happen, so that he can bring you to a point of submission and a point of seeking after him, so he can give you some heavenly eyesight, so he can give you strength that you otherwise would not have had. Amen. He says, to know the fellowship of his sufferings and what? Being made conformable unto his death. Look at the very next verse. We're still in Philippians 3, verse 11. If by any means... He said, God, do whatever you've got to do in my life. I want your power. I want your grace. I want your strength. If by any means, I'll do whatever's necessary. Let me just go ahead and lay this out there for you right now. Don't pray that if you're not willing to do whatever it takes. Because when you pray and you tell God, whatever you want to do, whatever it takes, take my life and let it be. God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Understand what you're asking. Because God means business when it comes to serving him. He said, God, I'll do whatever. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, God, I want your power, whatever it takes. I wonder how many of us are willing to pray that. Listen, we just came through a revival. We saw God do great things. God convicted us. God worked in our hearts. And some of us, we made a decision that we want to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. We want to be able to do something for God. Let me ask you, are you willing to suffer some pain for Christ? Because if you want the power of God, you're going to have to suffer some pain. Paul did. Paul did. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians. See, it was through this pain he had some eyesight. It was through this pain that God's strength was revealed in his life. You see, this is God's strength in our life. When we go through pain, we learn how to endure. We learn how to develop strength to carry on. Why? Because our strength has ended. Let me say that again. When we go through pains, we learn how to endure. We learn how to get the strength to carry on. Because our strength is gone. It's ended. It is no more. The only strength that we have is the strength that God gives us through the pains that we're suffering. And understand this. Our strength may have an end, but God's strength doesn't. God's strength never ends. And the Bible tells us, listen, just like you grow from faith to faith, the Bible says that we grow from strength to strength. You see, the things that you could endure, that you could not endure a year ago as a child of God, you ought to be able to endure some of those things today. Because you ought to be growing in the strength of the Lord. Growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. His strength is perfect. That's what your Bible says in verse number 10. No. In verse number 9, sorry, his strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is perfect when? When we are weak. By the way, it may be that God has to break us before he can show himself relevant in our lives and show Himself mighty in our lives. Pain can bring strength because His strength is completed in our lives when we realize that we can't make it without Him. There's another song in your hymn book. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. And then the chorus says, Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Jesus, oh Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. You see, we don't just need God for salvation. We need God's presence to live the Christian life. Why do you think He gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us? Because we need His help. We can't live this Christian life on our own. Pain brings submissiveness. Pain brings searching. Pain brings sight. Pain brings strength. Look at verse 9 again. Pain also brings a surrender. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's response is this. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, I'm going to accept this as being the will of God, and I'm not going to fight it anymore, but rather I'm going to glory in the infirmity that God's given me. Why? Because I want God's power. I want God's power. And if we're going to get the power of God, it's going to take some suffering on our parts. Because God's got to do the work. Pain's going to bring surrender. You see, once we surrender to the working of God, yes, that includes the pain. That includes the suffering. Once we surrender to the working of God in our lives, then we can tap into the unknown power of God. Then you can allow God to work in you and through you. When you are weak, He's made strong. You see, God's power in our lives is only revealed when we are in complete surrender to Him. God doesn't take halfway in our lives. God's not going to work on your timetable. Okay? God's not going to work on your schedule. God's going to do a work, number one, when He's good and ready. But He's going to work through you when He has all of you. And sometimes He has to break us in order to do that. He may have to allow a hurt. He may have to allow a chronic pain in our lives for us to be drawn to Him. Listen, why do you think when people oftentimes get diagnosed with cancer or they have a family member that dies, why do you think those that don't go to church, one of the first things they do is they come and attend church? Because they're seeking after something. Because they have a hurt that this world can't feel. And it may be that God has allowed that hurt to happen to draw them so that He can save them, number one, and number two, so He can use them. You see, we look at pains and we look at the trials that we go through. We look at them from the wrong perspective. It may be that God is allowing these things to draw us to Him, to build the relationship that we need. Hold your place here again. Go to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. 1 Peter 4:12. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Why? Inasmuch as ye are partakers of what? Christ's sufferings. Did we not read that again in Philippians chapter 3? To suffer like Christ did. We are partakers of Christ's suffering. Why? That when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, the world, He is evil spoken of. But on your part, He's glorified. Don't get upset with God when you're going through trials, when you're facing the pains of this life. It may be God's trying to bring you to a point of surrender. God's trying to mold you and shape. Remember, we are the potter. He is the clay. And you go back to Jeremiah chapter number 18 and you'll read in the story of the potter and the clay that the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And there's going to be times where there's going to be a marring that happens in your life. And God's going to have to do some starting over. In order to start over with the clay, He had to smash it. He had to break it from what it was and start over. And sometimes in our lives, God's got to break us and start over. Pain can bring surrender because He wants to draw us close to Him. Next, in verse number 10, we see that pain also brings stamina. That's our endurance. You see, the more pain that you go through, you develop a high pain tolerance. There are some of you in here today that the pain level that you face right now, it would cripple most people. Like Brother Brandon, been blown up multiple times. Left for dead, I've heard his story. I think I missed the row. The chronic pains. Brother Rowe's got a lot of those pains as well. Missed Goins. And I can go throughout the room and list different folks that are going through chronic ailments that for most people could cripple them. It could be used as an excuse. How do I know? Because I've seen it. We went to church with a lady there in Arkansas, the first church I worked at, and she had lupus. It was a very abbreviated form of what Mr. Rowe goes through. And every opportunity she had, it became an excuse for why she didn't go to church. Every time. She'd go to the store. She'd go out to eat with her friends. She'd do all these different things. Came time for church. Oh, I'm hurting so bad. Well, you weren't hurting 3 hours ago. What was it? She was allowing that pain to be an excuse rather than allowing the pain to draw her close to God. You see, pain brings stamina. Notice verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure. Paul, you what? I take pleasure in infirmities. This is the same guy that just said he got beat with almost 200 stripes. He got beat with rods on 3 occasions. He said, I take pleasure in that. I eat pain for breakfast. I'm just kidding. He says, I take pleasure in this. Notice. He said, I take pleasure what? In infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Not just any kind. Those that are done for Christ's sake. See, it's the perspective. Pain can bring stamina. We develop a stamina to endure the hurt. We develop the stamina to endure the wrongs. We develop the stamina to endure the injustice in our lives. Because we understand this could be the avenue. This could be the source of how we get the power from God. This could be what God's allowing to happen in our lives to cleanse us spiritually and prepare us to have His power. See, this is all about how we view these trials. It's all about how we view the hard times. Don't view your trials, don't view your hard times as a burden, but rather, let me help you, rather view them as an opportunity for God's grace and strength to be made perfect in your life. That in spite of the pain that you're suffering, in spite of the pain that you're feeling, in spite of everything you're having to endure, you're going to rise up and you're going to show those that are around you and those that you love how great your God is and how powerful your God is. You see, it can be an excuse for why you don't do something for God, or it can be a testimony of the power and the grace of God in your life. It's one of those two things. We choose to allow the flesh to become the excuse, or we choose to allow our ailments to become a testimony to others. The Bible also tells us that our lives are epistles that are read on the hearts of men. That means those in the world, your family, your friends, those that don't go to church that you are associated with, they'll see your faithfulness in spite of the pains that you've endured. And that could be a witnessing tool to draw them to God. View them as opportunities for God to manifest Himself in your life. Next, pain can bring sensitivity. Notice the word distresses is used here. Distresses is defined as a cramping or a narrowness of room. It's where the pressure is pushed down upon somebody. The stress of your life. It literally means to feel the weight or the pressures of life. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I guarantee you every adult would raise their hand if I asked the question, do you feel the pressures of life? You'd raise your hand and say, yes, now more than ever. Especially in the day and age we live in with the inflation the way it is. We feel pressure now more than ever before. Everything around us is against us. But the word distress means to literally be under stress or to be under duress. This is more than the physical pain that he was enduring. This is the physical pain plus the emotional pain plus the psychological pain plus the mental anguish in life. You see, this is when people, when they don't have God to depend on, this is when people have mental breakdowns. This is when people have emotional breakdowns because they don't have a source to go to in God. This is when people in the world begin to get on what we call these crazy pills. They have these mental breakdowns. Why? Because they don't have God in their lives. Because we as the child of God, we realize that our strength comes from God. And God can give us the endurance. This is all progressive. We have submissiveness. We have a searching. We have now sight. We have strength. We have a surrender to His will. We have stamina or endurance. And now we have a sensitivity to the things that are going on, the emotional pains. Most people would have a mental breakdown, an emotional breakdown, but God, listen, God wants us to come to the point to where we are sensitive to Him and where we seek His presence, not just on an emotional capacity, but psychologically as well. We seek His presence in every area of our lives. You see, when this world doesn't make sense and the pains that you're suffering don't make sense, you go to the one place that does make sense. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. It's the one place that everything makes sense in this world. You can go to the Word of God and God begins to clarify some things in your life. You can bow down on your knee and you begin to pray and God begins to put the peace of God into your life because you were overwhelmed by the things of this world. This is when the peace of God comes into our lives and calms us, takes away the overwhelming sense of the pressure of life. Then notice verse 10 at the very end. He says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Pain, lastly, can bring significance in your life. Pain can bring significance in your life. You see, when we are weak to the world, we would be unusable. The world does not view things the way that God views things. The world says, when you're weak, I can't do anything with you. You need to be strong in your own self. And have there's nobody you can depend on. There's nobody you can trust. That's what the world says. You got to do everything by yourself. There's no time for weakness. That's what the world says. God says, no. I don't think that way. God says, in order for me to work in your life, you have to be weak. You cannot be proud. You cannot be arrogant. You cannot have your own strength. You've got to have His strength. So here, pain brings significance. Notice, when I am weak, then am I strong. You see, it's opposite thinking. It seems like a paradox, a seeming contradiction. But there are no contradictions in the Bible. It's just we've got to change the way we view things. Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And God's ways are not our ways. When we are weak to the world, we are unfit to do a work. But God says that when we are weak, then can He make us strong through His power. You see, our suffering has brought us to a point to where we can be used by God. Go to Galatians, next book over to the right, chapter 6. Our suffering, the pain that we feel in our lives, that thorn in the flesh that you may have that God's not taken away. Again, I don't know what your thorn is. Paul had one. We can speculate all day as to what it was. But I do believe that people have thorns today as well, just like Paul did. And they're going to serve the same purpose. They're being used by God to break us down to trust in Him. Ultimately. Notice what Paul said to the church of Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory." You see, he had new significance in his life. Notice it. "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." He says, I've crucified everything in my life for the glory of God. Remember Philippians 3, he counts all things but dung. He suffered all loss of all things. Verse 15. "For in Christ neither circumcision availed anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." He said, it doesn't matter what you've gone through. What matters is that you're a new creature in Christ. Verse 16. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. He says, nobody can bother me at all. Why? For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He said, nobody can question whether or not I've been dedicated to my God, because I've got the proof. I've got the marks on my body that I'm dedicated. I wonder how many of us have marks of being dedicated to God. Now, we don't know what, listen, we don't know in America what persecution is today. "Oh, somebody cussed me out, or somebody slammed a door in my face. I feel so persecuted." You don't know what persecution is. I read story after story after story of missionaries right now being physically persecuted around the world. Several years ago, I read a story of a missionary and a national pastor there in the Middle East. Now, we know the religion in the Middle East is Islam. It's Muslim. There was a missionary that was over there, and they can't operate freely. He had gotten out of the country, but he could not secure a route for the national pastor that was meeting there. The Muslims came in and they captured that national pastor, and they beat and they bludgeoned him, and they dragged him into the middle of a street. And they took one of their tanks and ran over him in the middle of the street and killed him right in front of everybody. We don't know what persecution is. Nobody's coming to our house right now and dragging us out of our house and forbidding us to walk with God. We don't know real persecution. And I think, personal opinion right here, I'll insert it. I believe that's why Christianity is so anemic today and so sickly. Because we don't know what persecution is. If we had to take a stand, it would destroy most Christians. Because they don't have a backbone to stand. Because they've never had to suffer for the cause of Christ. Here, Paul says, don't question my faith. Henceforth, let no man trouble me. He said, don't bother me about this. I know where I stand with my God. I wonder how many of us can view the trial that we're facing. View the thorn that God's given to us. I wonder how many of us can say, God, I may not enjoy this, but God, I know it's necessary. You see, God's going to allow pain in your life to bring some things. The truth is, you don't need to get bitter about it, but you need to understand the will of God. In order for us to grow, we got to yield ourselves to whatever God's going to allow in our lives. And if you prayed and you asked during the revival for the power of God in your life, God will break you in order to give you that power. Because He can't just give you power without you having a full understanding of who He is and where that power comes from. Here, Paul was able to say through this thorn in the flesh that God's grace was made perfect, that God's strength was made perfect through his weakness. Allow God to do the work in your life, so that you can have the power of God. I want God's power in my life. I want God's power in our church. But I also realize it's going to take some suffering. It's going to take some hurt. It's going to take some pain to get the power of God. That I may know Him, he says, Philippians 3:10, and the fellowship of His suffering. If you're going to know God, you're going to have to know His sufferings. They go hand in hand. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Don't get bitter at God when He's trying to do a work in your life. Understand tonight He is trying to mold you. He is trying to shape you. And don't, listen, don't allow the devil to work that hurt into your life as an excuse for why you can't serve God. If Paul can get stoned and left for dead in the city of Lystra and leave and go and preach the gospel and then come back to the very same city that stoned him, why can't we just go across the street and invite somebody to church? But they slammed the door in my face. Okay, I still need Jesus. Go to the next door. Then go to the next door. You say, but I hurt. I have this physical ailment. It could be God wants to show His strength in your life. Don't allow that ailment to keep you from serving God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's pray. Father, we love You.